Blog Talk Radio.
Up next, the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. Sports fans, you are listening to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark, coming to you live from the Veranda High Point apartment complex in South Denver. Mark, how are we doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Got the new phone rocking, and I gotta tell you, the roads were almost completely empty. I mean, I got down here in like a third of the time I usually do. I don't know what's going on, like the zombie apocalypse has happened or something like that. But, you know, speaking of, there's another new episode tonight, I believe, of Walking Dead. Do you watch that show at all?
I've seen a little bit of it every now and then. I can't say that I do watch it.
Okay. I've loved it this year so far. It's been like all like kind of out there episodes.
Gotcha.
I like anything out of the norm. You
know? Right. Oh, definitely.
You know, and not to get too much into it, but it's kind of funny because like everybody was all excited about the one episode this year where like there was just all this carnage, all these people like hacking each other to death, and I was like, I can see that on the news. I want to see the zombie survival stuff, you know. So anyway, but things are good. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know what show I actually watch? I've gotten into The Blacklist on NBC. You should watch it. It's really
like
interesting. It's very, very interesting. It's got a very good plot to it, so let's get into some NFL action. And, of course, it is game day.
It is game day. It's another wonderful NFL Sunday. You know, we'll start with, kind of an extracurricular issue. You know, we know about Greg Hardy.
Yeah.
He got in a lot of trouble for being aggressive with his lady. And we don't really know we didn't know the extent. Right? We didn't know with Ray Rice, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So now we've got pictures.
There are pictures.
And in this Twitter reactionary society that we have, I mean, we saw in the World Series or in the playoffs when Utley did that kind of dirty slide that was kind of a little questionable. It wasn't really that big of a deal. It wasn't really that far out of the norm.
It wasn't that far out of the norm.
But the second that it got onto that Twitter explosion,
of course,
and the social media went crazy, then all of a sudden, oh, well, we got to suspend them because we've got to look like we're caving to public pressure and not hurt our possible chances of money.
Well, you know? I always say social media killed Joe Paterno. Cancer didn't kill Joe Paterno. Social media killed Joe Paterno.
Well, yeah, but you can see why. I mean, anytime there's kids involved.
Right,
you know?
But, you know, the whole thing that people don't understand is that he actually did go to the police. He actually did go to the president of the university. They all chose not to do anything because they didn't have any evidence. Joe did nothing wrong.
Well, they didn't have any evidence. Well, I thought somebody walked in on him.
Yeah, it was Mike McQuarrie, the quarterback coach, the redhead.
Yeah.
That used to be the quarterback for him. But he didn't say specifically what exactly he saw.
Oh, that's weird.
The whole thing blew up on social media to the point they took the statue down outside of Beaver Stadium. Now, they are going – that statue is hidden somewhere. No one knows where it is.
Here's the question. Why didn't he, like, go in and broad shoulder tackle whatever the pedophile's name was and knock his ass
Jerry
to the ground and start beating on him? Yeah,
well,
the
thing with that is a lot of people don't realize Jerry Sandusky was asked to step down in 1997. This happened in 2001 at his camps, which Penn State donated the grounds for.
Well, so they asked him to leave, but he didn't go along with it, and then they just didn't say, well, then you're fired?
Oh, no, he stepped down. He stepped down in 1997.
Oh, that was his last year?
Yeah. So he wasn't even involved with
Penn State.
All
this stuff came out this late afterwards.
Well, no, this happened in 2001 pretty much.
That Paterno got everything?
2001 to like 2005 is when he did this at his private camp.
Oh, so he wasn't a coach anymore?
No.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought he was still a coach.
No, he wasn't a coach at all. See, people don't realize the whole story. Your reaction is perfect because you are going off of what you saw on the news and on Twitter and Facebook.
I don't watch college football, so I mean, it's certainly watch. And
you're not alone in that because I've gotten into this a lot. I mean, I cried when Joe Paterno died. I have to admit, Joe Paterno's God in Pennsylvania.
Well, that's fine. You're a fan.
You know, he's more than God in Pennsylvania. He is. He's above.
Yeah. I know he did a great job as a coach. But, you know, media, I guess, you know, you can't can't control what you can't control the story that you're told.
Social media outlashes are horrible. I think they need to stop. And, you know, like looking at the pictures of Greg Hardy's girlfriend, it's like, you beat the tar out of this girl. I mean, how is this guy still playing? I mean, and how do the Cowboys even pick him up?
I don't know, because it makes you think about Ray Rice, and I wonder if Goodell's going to come out and say, okay, well, now that we see how bad it was, now we're going to suspend you for four more games or for a season or whatever, which is what you think about the message that that really sends is, as long as you don't get caught, as
right.
long as you don't see it, then we're not really going to punish you for it. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's as much of the BS as the NFL, you know, they support boobies, right? They have their whole pink month
they
for
do.
Breast cancer awareness. 1% of the money from sales involved with that go to the actual research.
You're
so,
right.
You
You're
know,
right.
It's amazing what people are willing to do to get your money and what businesses are willing to do to get your money.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just have to always accept that everything is being driven by profit.
Perfect example. Goodwill, it has a store right next door here. They get, or the money goes to the needy out of a dollar, I think it's 7 cents.
Why
the CEO
bother?
Of the company makes $500,000.
I mean, I can understand, you know, a high executive making money because there's a lot of stuff involved.
Yeah.
But what are you, I mean, is more money going to advertising? Or, I mean, who knows? Maybe because these things aren't charitable organizations.
They're really
maybe
not.
They're just.
I forget
poor, you
what
know.
The best organization to give to is. It's
probably
something like
Salvation Army.
No, it's not them.
Savers.
Nope. I had the, this story came out last year. Goodwill's one of the worst. One of the best. I think 91 cents went to the people that it should.
Wow. I know the American Red Cross is kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, they're all like that. So as far back to sports, you know, we
yep.
had a game on Thursday.
We did.
This was not a close game.
It wasn't.
Now, I have been clamoring for them to start Johnny Manziel since he basically came in from and now got injured. So I finally got my wish to see him. Now, like I said last week on our show, I do not think of him as a long-term quarterback. I do not think he'll be long-term successful, anything like that. But, boy, you know, he was good in the first half. He looked real strong. And in the second half, Cincinnati's obvious game plan was to not let him run outside the pocket.
That's true.
When he never got outside the left and right tackle, the guy was horrible in the pocket. You know, it's almost like he only can play backyard football.
Well, the big thing with Johnny Manziel, I think he is a long-term quarterback. I can see the Eagles actually picking him up. I'd really like to see the Eagles pick him up, and I'll tell you why.
Pick up Kaepernick. Kaepernick
no.
says that he's not tired.
Kaepernick needs to go. Johnny Football played a good first half because they were all amped up. He has absolutely no talent around him at all. What could that man do?
I don't think that's fair to say. Because
no,
let's
that's
not forget,
fair to say.
Let's not forget that, I mean, maybe the Bengals defense is better than we're giving it credit for because Barnage is a great tight end. I mean, he was like the second most fantasy point. I mean, you don't get there for no reason. And then Travis Benjamin has been cooler as of late because I think they're rolling coverage to him, but he was having a great year. Crowell's been okay in the backfield. I don't think there's no talent. And here's the thing I don't like. I don't like the fact that – I mean, I didn't like the three-headed running back. I don't like that at all. But they've got to get Duke Johnson on the field all time. He either has
they,
to be at the running back or at
yeah.
wide receiver.
He's got to be somewhere. They don't use him enough.
No, they don't. He's explosive. I know he's a rookie, but he's too explosive. You don't keep your playmakers – on the side, and then hope they go off the few snaps you give them. You give them more snaps so they can go off more often.
Right. I don't like Crowell as a running back at all. I mean, he – what did he rush for, like, 15 times for 14 yards in that
game?
He
usually does. He rushes for, you know – he let's say he usually looks like the Fournette of last night and not the Fournette of the season pass.
Oh, wow.
So, but anyway, it was you know it was an important game I think for the Bengals. I think
it was
to,
it was a statement game.
Yeah, they needed to stay undefeated. They needed to you know they say about good teams, right? You beat the teams you're supposed to beat,
right?
And then you may beat the teams that are good or you may not, but you never lose to the teams you should beat. You know, New England's a great example of that, right? They
oh,
never
course.
Never lose to a scrub.
No.
And who was the team that they were talking about the other day? The Dolphins. And like mm-hmm. the only time that they really look good is when they're playing other teams in the AFC South. or teams in the AFC South because they're so bad. But when they play anybody else, they don't do anything.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, and then let's see, anything else happened in that game? I guess it was
Sanuk scored on that reverse, put it down on a touch.
That was a cool
play. It was a good time for a reverse.
Yeah, and because you don't usually see those work that well.
No, not in the NFL.
And I did like that Andy Dalton actually was out there ready to block. He actually didn't have to block anybody, I don't think.
No, he didn't.
Well, I mean, but you know, he kinda
had that guy pretty much went untouched.
But you know, he kind of had that Cam Newton look, right?
He did. And you like to see that from a quarterback.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. I mean,
show a little heart.
Yeah, you don't want your quarterback getting hurt, but it's like, you know, just lead with your non-throwing shoulder, and you know, you should be fine. What are the odds you're going to break something? You know?
Oh, of course.
So. Anyway, we do have a good week of stuff coming up here in terms of the NFL. Green Bay at the Panthers.
This is going to be an interesting game. Does Aaron Rodgers come out and look like he did against the Broncos? Is the big question. I don't think he will. But what's your thoughts? I think Cam's going to go off in this game because he really needs to.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers has not lost back-to-back games in the regular season since weeks 5 and 6 of 2010.
I was going to say, I don't remember.
Yeah, he just doesn't lose back-to-back games. Packers did lose a pair of games in 2013, but that was when his clavicle was broken. It's not the same player.
Right.
And I agree with you on Cam Newton, because we've seen that the Packers are not good at stifling opposing quarterbacks that can run.
Yeah.
And they've given away more yards per attempt. And I think that we're going to see that continue. I think mm-hmm. we're going to see Cam, who has rushed more than any quarterback in the league, has scored more touchdowns than any quarterback in the league. I could see him tucking and running with it on a designed run 5 times. And then
at least
another 5 on the scramble.
Yeah, I could see that too.
So what do you think? 10 yards? Oh, let's see. 10 carries?
Yards a carry? I'm going to go 10 carries and probably about 62 yards.
I could see that. And then, you know, obviously if they get down near the end zone, it's going to be him. Because Jonathan Stewart just doesn't
pull
anybody over.
No, he's not going to out-juke you. He's not going to run over you. He's not going to run around you.
And I don't know if you've noticed, but Jonathan Stewart actually has become a viable fantasy quarterback or running back,
mm-hmm.
which is, I can't remember, the last time that was when with him and D'Angelo both went for 1,000, which was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of that fun thing where you can see that in fantasy –
yeah.
You can still be a good player, even though you're not worth
anything to your
ball club.
That is true. Fantasy does skew that, do that every now and then, where you have a guy that's scoring points all the time, but he really doesn't ever look good.
No, you know, or the team itself doesn't really have a chance to succeed,
right,
based on what they're doing. Let's see, the next game that we kind of got on the docket there that looks like it kind of matters is going to be the Raiders and the Steelers.
I love this one.
So, I mean, I'm starting to become a Raiders believer, which I almost want to hit myself for saying those words out loud.
Oh, you should, being a Broncos fan.
But, I mean, Carr and Cooper, it's a good combo. There was another guy, even heard of, that had like 5 catches last week. They've got, you know, the Lamar.
They've got
Crabtree
on the team now.
Oh, Crabtree. That's the other side, wide receiver, and Latavius. Yeah, they got a lot of good. They've got talent.
They do have talent.
And
I love when they drafted Carr. I said that's the perfect quarterback to go there.
Yeah, it looks like it just was a steal.
It was.
I mean, the guy makes great decisions.
And would they get him in the third or fourth round? I think it was the third round.
It was certainly for a lot cheaper than they would have paid otherwise.
Oh yeah.
Makes you think of like when they did that with Russell Wilson. And the guy in the Super Bowl, you know, 2 out of his 3
years.
Oh, yeah,
and they had to restructure his contract because of it.
But at least you got him for cheap for a while.
You did.
You know, got some stuff accomplished. And then in this game, let's see, it is a road game for the Raiders.
It
is. So this is the time to make a statement. I mean, they've got a pretty good record. They could go to 5-3, which is pretty impressive for a team that was, I think, 0-10 to start the year last year.
Yes, they were 0-10.
You know, so that's a big jump. That's a big jump.
All right, well, we're going to take our first commercial break. Mark, how do you get up in the morning, and what do you do if you're feeling down?
Well, you know, sometimes you need a little bit of a boost, but what you can do is you can always change your diet a little bit. You can always change your exercise routine. If you want to contact the folks over at ekfit.net, you can go to their Facebook page. You can go to the website at www.ekfit.net. They'll fix you up with a skill, Shakeology. That'll give you the energy you need to compete, and they'll also hook you up with some great exercise programs to help you achieve your fitness goals.
Not to mention, get you a Beachbody coach.
Hey, beautiful.
Hey, I always want a beach body. I got a little extra spare tire down here. I also want to thank our friends, Kyle, over at SageMediaLLC.com. They take care of all your website needs, your website performance, your social media needs, your logo design.
They did our logo.
Love it. So we want to thank Kyle over at SageMediaLLC.com. We're going to be right back after this quick commercial break.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
With JP and Mark, I am the one and only JP, and across the table from me is Mr. West Coast himself, Mark Fiore.
That we, you know, we were talking about the Raiders. We went to break there, the Raiders game coming up with the Steelers. There's another important fantasy implication type thing, which is D'Angelo Williams is now the starting running back again for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm not sure if I remember exactly what happened to Le'Veon. It is an ACL tear, I believe, all the way, or MCL?
I think it's an MCL.
Okay, so, and he's done for the year. They put him on IR.
Oh, yeah. He's.
As far as those injuries go, we still don't know what happened to Matt Forte.
That's
he's
true.
Still not, they still haven't said what happened to him, which they've got to get in a fine or something.
I don't think the NFL can fine you for not releasing an injury.
So they just have to put you on the injury report, but they don't have to actually say why.
You just put him on I think it's the PUP report. Unable to play.
Oh, physically unable to perform or whatever. Yeah.
So is what they do.
So, I mean, whatever it was. So, you know, we've got D'Angelo Williams. He was the number one rusher for the first two weeks of the year when he was playing for Le'Veon, who was on suspension. And the question is now, is he going to become the best running back again? You know, I mean, this is D'Angelo Williams we're talking about, somebody who looked like they were out of gas in Carolina.
Oh, he really did.
So, Jonathan Stewart still looks that way. I mean, is it the Panthers?
It could be the Panthers. I mean, it is Carolina. It's not Steeler country. I mean, the fan base is way more amped up in Steeler. I mean, there's people on my side of the state that are Steelers fans and not Eagles fans.
Well, I mean, don't forget, Carolina's not even that old.
No, they're. You know? I think they just hit their 15-year mark.
Wow. That makes me feel old.
Oh, I know. I feel old when you start talking about these expansion teams and how long they've been, or even the Rockies.
Yeah.
It's like, really?
Was that 93 or something like that?
I think the year I graduated high school, 93.
Yeah, and then 95 was when Coors Field opened.
Yep.
And, you know, just to give props to, I mean, there's not much the Rockies do right. That's something they did right. That stadium is great.
That stadium is great. They keep improving. You know, that upper deck, the rooftop bar area, cabana area that they built.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It's
awesome.
It's called the rooftop, maybe, or something like that.
The
drinks are overpriced.
Oh, of course.
But you know what? There was a couple times I went there with some work friends, and we always went up to that bar for at least part of it because, you know, I'm the company dole, so why not get some drinks? And it was interesting how nobody there really even seemed to be paying attention to the game.
Nobody does.
But you could see how it was a good thing to have there, right? Because you've got a certain number of people. You know, you got a group. Let's say you got a group of 10 people that go. And six of them like baseball and want to watch the game, want to watch the Rockies.
Right.
They're fans. The other four who don't really care about baseball, which, let's be honest, it's probably about a 50-50 split, they now have a place they can go and hang out and have a really good time. I mean, it was a party atmosphere.
The only time those sections actually had people in them is opening day. So, I mean, I think it's a great thing that they did. I actually noticed, I live right down there when they did the construction. And I asked my friends, what's going on? And they're like, huh? And I'm like, don't you see what's happening to the upper deck? And then I finally heard it on the news. And then we were there.
Why would
like,
you look up?
I'm like, wow. I'm like, this is a great use of this space.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun, you know, addition to the place. And I still love the fact that you can walk anywhere to that stadium and turn and see the field.
Oh, you can. Know,
I think they started that trend.
Well, the Esters there don't even pay attention to tickets because I buy a Rock Pile ticket and I'm usually sitting 10 rows behind the dugout.
Well, that works as long as you walk by when the inning is changing and there's a big rush of people. Otherwise,
I've done it when they're just plain old standing there. I'll put my ticket up so they can't see where it is.
Oh, they don't say anything?
They don't say a word.
Oh, I swear, every time I've tried to do that, they're like, wait a minute, where's your ticket for? And you're like, hey, this team is garbage. You're going to lose 90 games.
You just
got to
look.
Be happy I'm here?
You got to look for the right ushers. My friend Nick hates when I do it, too. He's like, no, let's buy a ticket. I'm like, I am not paying $30 for a Rocky ticket.
No, it's just, I mean, you're paying for the talent that's visiting, not
right.
The talent that's there. But at least they did kind of follow that mantra with the Broncos as well, because the Broncos stadium is like that now. I still call it Mile High. I don't give it whatever weird name they give it. I don't care how much they pay. But
well, Sports Authority is a Colorado company.
Yeah, I still couldn't care less. It's Mile High. That's all I'll care about.
Well, that's all I call it.
And but again, that thing where you can turn around and you can see out to the stadium
right.
Very easily from everywhere,
you,
and that's a great addition, a great change. Even though it's colder now when it's snowing. So you know that Raiders game, obviously, you know we're excited to see what happens. Can give us a big tip as to you know if the Raiders are a good team or not. Now we have the Eagles playing the Cowboys.
Oh, baby.
We know
it's
this is a big game
Dallas
for you, and this is in Dallas.
Yes.
What are you thinking?
I think Sam Bradford gets hurt, Mark Sanchez comes in, and kicks the crap out of the Cowboys. That's what I'm going to say.
Well, so far, we've got Castle and Whedon, who have been throwing the ball to Dez Bryant since Tony Romo went out. They are 4 of 19 to Dez Bryant.
I don't know how that's possible.
Don't you think
the man's 6'6".
Why wouldn't you not
a physical beast.
Send the slot guy on a fly route, send Dez on a slant route, throw it high. Are you telling me he can't go up and grab that ball?
The Cowboys are a disaster. You know, even Skip Bayless will say this. He doesn't like Jerry World. There's no atmosphere there for Cowboys fans. It's not a home field advantage at all. That's why I like the Eagles in this game.
Because the stadium is more of an event itself.
It's just an event going to the stadium.
And
it's
so
not,
big.
It is. It's not.
How does the sound work? You know, it's not like, it's like when
the
Raiders
thing.
Used to
it's
play
like,
in the Coliseum, right?
Like, yeah, it's like the stands are a mile high. You feel like you're so far away from the field. And my friend who lives down there in Arlington says you pretty much just watch the big screen the whole game.
And that's
you don't
terrible. Why not
watch
the game at home?
And I'm like, why are you paying so much for a ticket then? Why don't you sit on your couch?
You know, and how much do they pay for that TV? I don't remember now, but that screen
something
millions and millions
astronomical.
Of dollars.
Astronomical.
You know, I mean, I'd love to have one of those right out front of the house and
of course.
Play Call of Duty on that. But, you know, come on. See, what else in this game is interesting is the Cowboys have lost 4 of the last 5 times they've played at home against the Eagles.
They have.
Now, Romo was out for 2 of those games, so
yep.
That obviously makes a big difference.
Yes.
In a third game, Romo went out after throwing 2 passes. So
yep.
in a fair number of the games, actually more than half, you know, they didn't really have Romo, so that helps. But that's a pretty big statement when you're going into your hated rival and you're taking the
game. Oh, and all the sports channels in Philadelphia this week have been absolutely just going after Dallas. I mean, the one guy on YSP called them a bunch of whiny little babies. They're offensive linemen, or the whole team, really. But he called out the offensive line.
Oh, well, that sounds like the typical thing I would expect to hear from Philadelphia.
Oh,
just talking about the Cowboys. I mean, they're not exactly the favorite team.
No, Ed, Cowboys are our most hated team. The Giants would be next. I don't mind the Redskins. I don't like them.
That's just because the Redskins haven't been competitive, and they probably won't be as long as Snyder's there.
No, I can tell you they're not going
to. Those Redskins, I mean, they're playing the Patriots today. And
that's a 14-point spread.
That's not big enough. I would take that. I would actually probably bet the Patriots, which means it probably won't happen. But that's ridiculous. I mean, Washington won't be able to stop them on a single drive.
No, they're not
going to
be able to.
They're just going to walk all over.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I was going to bring up was, well, actually, if you think back, is it just me or is this true that the last like 3 years, the Eagles and Cowboys seem like they played both their matchups in the last 3 to 4 weeks of the season? Is that not true?
Didn't
they end with them two of the last 3 years?
Well,
and then play them, like in week, like Thanksgiving week. Or
last
something?
Year, the first game was Thanksgiving Day.
Okay.
And then the last game they played was second to the last game.
It was the second to the last.
Second
okay.
to last.
And then what about the year before?
It was about the same. So it's actually funny that they're actually ending this early.
That's what I thought was odd.
It's a weird schedule.
These are your two biggest draws of your division. I mean,
yeah.
Considering all the teams are garbage, you know, who has the biggest fan bases? It's got to be the Eagles and the Cowboys. I still can't get over how many Eagles fans live in Colorado.
Oh, we're everywhere.
More people I meet are Eagles fans than Broncos fans. I don't even understand how that happens.
We are everywhere. I mean, not this past time when the Eagles came here. Back in, 2006? When we picked up Jason from the airport, and he said that the plane broke out in an Eagles chant. And we get to the stadium, and all we see is a parking lot full of green. And we're like, here we go. We parked in there. Some Boulder School District teachers recognized me from doing events up at the event center.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is that there's so many teachers. You know, it's like they're going to infect all the kids. They're going to make them think that they're supposed to root for the Eagles.
Well, the funny thing is if you had any sort of orange or blue on, you had to run the gauntlet of Eagles fans practically tipping your car over, and some dude dressed as the Ultimate Warrior, if you had a truck, he'd get in the back of your truck and start dancing up and down. It was absolutely hysterical. I was sauteing cheesesteaks. We had people, they had cheesesteak hats. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And you know what? With the year we had season tickets, half the people that were Broncos fans had Eagle jerseys on.
That is very odd. But I mean, I guess they've always had exciting players, and they've always, you know, they don't seem to have a lot of the players that you despise, you know, that are or bad people or get in a lot of trouble.
That is true. The unfortunate thing is people give Eagles fans and Eagles or Phillies or Flyers or, well, the Sixers is terrible. They give them a lot of crap. The thing is one,
because they're not good fans.
Well,
no,
we are good fans because one, we know what's good.
Like.
We know what's good. We know what we like, and we're not afraid to say it. Now, Giants fans are just idiots. They don't know know football.
I'm not saying that Eagles fans don't know what they're talking about. I'm saying that Eagles fans are not very sportsmanlike. They're not very.
Well, I give you that. They're going to say
that's all. I'm
saying. And the only reason Santa got snowballed is because they found some drunk in the stands in a Santa costume because the original Santa actually canceled on them.
But you save your batteries, you save your snowballs for the Raiders. Just like, you know, just like Pittsburgh's going to be doing. We have one other big game.
Yes, we do.
You know, now, because we have four undefeated teams left in the NFL. So we have the Bengals, and they rolled this week.
They did.
We've got New England. They're going to roll this week.
You better believe it.
We've got Carolina. Well,
going to be questionable.
That's going to be a game. That's going to be a
good
game. And so then we've got our last undefeated team, which is my beloved Broncos. They are playing against the Colts. We've got Peyton going back to Indy again. The first time we went back to Indy was a very hoopla type of trip, but he didn't play all that well.
No, he didn't. In fact, they did exactly what they needed to. They blipped him. Like,
they did. They got him off. They got him off his mark.
Yeah.
They made him uncomfortable. And you know, last week we saw a different Broncos team. We saw a team that could run.
Yep.
And because they could run, we saw the play action being effective. And because the
that
play action was
effective,
we saw downfield passing. What do you think the Broncos do to make that happen again?
Well, a little tidbit of knowledge here. I hear that they're going to have the roof open for this one again. Because last year when they had the roof open, the Colts won. So they're going to open the roof again. And it's going
to trying to make it colder? Is that the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Little wind, a little cold. I say that defense is going to blitz all day long. And I think...
Do they have anybody besides Mathis that can get in there?
Not really, but if you send the house at Peyton can't do anything.
That's true.
He can't move.
That's very true. That's very true. So, I mean, does he start doing flats and screens? And
cause they're going to have to.
Remember the bubble screen from the receiver, right? That we used to see that from the Broncos
all the time.
Now, they said they stopped doing it because teams were keying in on it. I'm sure they were because the Broncos did it all the time. But they haven't done it evident all year. I mean, I've watched every Bronco game. I think I've seen that twice.
Well, Donovan McNabb was notorious for that bubble screen all the time. And then people started keying in on it, and they had to get rid of it.
Right, but I mean, it just seemed like you could still call it.
You could call it. They're going to have to call it today.
You know, and just make sure that when you call it when you have a bunch wide receiver set, and so you can bring Demaryius behind both Emmanuel Sanders and whoever in the world's playing the third receiver. I don't even know these days. We know Latimer has been pretty much a complete bust.
Yeah.
The other thing is, are we going to start seeing a lot of the two tight end sets this week?
I think you're going to have to because they're going to send the blitz. They're going to send the safety. They're going to run the corner blitz on you. This game's going to be closer than I think a lot of people think. I don't think the Colts should start Andrew Luck, though, today.
Well, but, I mean, look how good he was at the end of the game last.
He was good, but, you know, Carolina is back on their heels. You know, that's just – this team is not going to –
That was still the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
It really was.
From a domination to utterly unable to stop the other team.
Oh, I was shocked when I actually saw the score come across. I'm like, what?
And then yet somehow in overtime they were able to stop him. And I wonder if that was because they finally got a long enough break on defense to really get their air back and say,
we just got to
go, you know, balls to the wall four plays in a row. You know,
I'm going to say the Broncos take this, but it's going to be 31-27. It's going to be closer than people think.
I wonder if the Broncos can score that much. I'd like to see it. Now, we do, of course. This is Vernon Davis's first game. So, you know, are we going to see him in there for 30 snaps? Or are we going to see him in there for 10 snaps?
I'd say we see him in there for about 15 snaps.
Just kind of introducing him into the offense a little bit.
Introduce him. He's going to run a couple real easy routes. He's going to block a lot. About 15 plays, I'd say.
You know,
just to break him in.
I'd like to see them send him on drags and short option flies.
A
quick out corner or a quick curl route where they can also, you know, do a give and go, you know, or just a little drag, something to just give them decent opening. And like you said, if the Colts are blitzing, sending a lot of extra linebackers, you're going to have some openings up the middle. And Peyton took advantage of the middle last week. So
yes.
If he can take care of the middle this week, you know.
You're going to see when Vernon Davis runs a pass route, you're going to see him drag across.
Yeah,
is what's going to happen.
I think it's probably a good play for him, right? Get him in space, get him the ball, and then let him see what he can do.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But like I said, a lot of people are – what's your prediction on the score?
I actually think that the Bronco defense is going to show you, you know, what happens when they get a quarterback that's not quite on his game and a weak offensive line. I think that the Broncos are going to knock down Luck at least 10 times. I think they're going to sack him at least 5 times, and they're going to hurry him about 15 to 20 times. And I think that it's very possible that Luck has a 2 or 3 interception game, and I think the Broncos win this one somewhere in the area of 24-10.
24-10. That's a good pick. I think Luck is actually going to get pulled in this game. He's going to start, and when he doesn't move the ball, they're going to pull him because he is injured. We all know it. They won't say it.
Well, ribs, shoulder.
Yeah, he is injured, and if he looks horrible, they're going to pull him.
But Pagano has got to be thinking that he is he is very lucky that that team with that horrible record is still in the first place.
Oh, so, it's a horrible division.
You know, I mean, so he cannot afford to not at least win one game in the playoffs, or he's gone. In fact, he might have to win the Super Bowl, or he's gone.
I think he's got to pull Andrew Luck today and make this game close, and he's gone.
Is it Hasselbeck they've got?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They have Hasselbeck, he's 2-0.
So they fired the offensive coordinator?
Yeah,
who was
Andrew Luck's QB coach at Stanford.
So who, I mean, do you think they would they really fire a second guy in 2 weeks, you think?
No, they're going to keep, Pagano's going to be there to the end of the season, but if there's something wrong with Luck playing him,
That's crazy.
It's crazy because there's nothing good that can come out of it.
Well, I mean, what are you sacrificing?
Yeah.
You're not sacrificing a year that looks amazing. You're sacrificing a year that looks terrible.
Terrible. I mean, they look terrible right now, and your backup is 2-0.
Yeah. I mean, why not get Hasselbeck in there again? Give him some former glory, you know? Who knows? Maybe you go on a 9-game winning streak.
They really could. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We want to thank our friends over at ekfit.net and sagemediallc.com. We will be right back after this quick commercial break. You're listening to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
With JP and Mark. Mark, we're going to hit a little college football now. We're going to go to our college football segment.
All right,
we had some really big games. The biggest of all was Alabama, LSU. Alabama now is 6-0 against LSU in the last six times they played. This game was...
Maybe call that the Saban factor.
You definitely call that Saban factor. This game ended 30-16. Jay Coker from Alabama was 18 for 24, 184 yards. Nothing spectacular there, but Derrick Henry went off on 38 carries, 210 yards, three touchdowns. I mean, ridiculous.
It was a very interesting game because it seemed like that was all that was happening was, you know, the occasional blown coverage or whatnot to make a big play. But, you know, Brandon Harris was horrible to start with that half. He kind of found his rhythm. You know, they had that pass to Durrell, 40 yards or so for the touchdown. Fournette, this guy is like the leading Heisman candidate. He's a 7.7 yard per rush average, and he had 9 rushes for 9 yards in the first half.
Bama completely took him out of the game. I was shocked at that.
In the second half, I didn't see much more of him. I mean, he just didn't seem to do anything.
No, he didn't. I mean, Les Miles and Matt Hatter didn't make the right adjustments, the changes, call the plays right. I mean, Les Miles got to look in the mirror today and say, what just happened to our team?
Well, and it was weird when you were watching some of the replays at halftime, and they were showing a lot of the blitzes from Alabama or just the, you know, kind of the spies that they were doing to watch Fournette. And I don't know how they were doing it. They were just guessing right or if they were reading something on the offense. But, boy, those linebackers were going right to the correct gap. And the A, the B, the C, they were hitting the one that was actually the right one almost every time.
Well, Nick Saban does his homework. I'm going to tell you that. Nick Saban is the Bill Belichick of the NCAA. They did their homework on Fournette. They knew exactly where he was going at all times.
And then, you know, that Brandon Harris, you know, he didn't look so good in the beginning. Then he looked better, you know, at the midpoint or so.
Right.
Then he comes right out, and, you know, the clock hasn't even hit 14 minutes yet, and he throws an interception.
Yeah.
And he threw an interception to Lee, who, you know, actually Dylan Lee had two of those. He had one that kind of sealed the game, even though the game wasn't really in question at that point. He did get that final, you know, kill that final drive and be like, okay, now the game's just, we're going to run the clock out the rest of the way. So, you know, and then that Derrick Henry was, I hadn't seen him much.
I tell you what, he has not had I don't think he's had a game like that in a long time.
How many touchdowns did he end up with? Was it four? I know he had three because I saw him score that one in the beginning.
He ended up with three touchdowns. He had 38 carries, 210 yards, three touchdowns.
Okay, because I knew he had that opening touchdown, and then he had the touchdown after the slip screen when they had that first interception on Harris, and then I saw him get one at the midpoint of the third quarter, and that was kind of when the game was
It was. Alabama the number one team.
That would shock me to see a team jump that many spots, but you never know. I mean, it was obviously. I mean, they were playing the number two team, and
yeah,
they absolutely dominated them.
They
were at home, but still, they
and,
absolutely dominated.
You know, Clemson wound up beating Florida State 23-13. Deshaun Watson had 28 for 42, 297, and a touchdown. Dalvin Cook for FSU, 21 carries, 194 yards, one touchdown. And one of the Leggett, one of the Clemson receivers, went over 100 yards. This game wasn't as close as you'd think.
No.
And Florida State took an early lead in the 7-3. They both scored field goals in the second quarter, third quarter. Clemson with a touchdown, Florida State with a field goal, and then Clemson
saw point. With all those yards, including that 75-yard touchdown run, like the second half of the game, and then because now you're going to have Clemson, right? They're now locked into the ACC title game, playing whatever cream puff, you know, comes out of there.
Right.
And then you have Alabama has now secured the Western SEC title. So, and then we actually found out who was going to secure that, or they secure the West. Oh, I'm sorry. They put themselves in the driver's seat.
They're in the driver's seat.
By, I think, probably like three games now in terms of, of tiebreakers.
I think it is.
And then you have Florida, who did lock up the Eastern SEC bid. So, Florida had a scare. You know, the number 210 team, they're playing Vanderbilt. They're not playing a ranked team. And they won 9-7, and they won it on a field goal that from a guy that they picked up off the street from what I was when I was reading. And the guy
hit
it with like 2 minutes left in the game or something like that. But he also missed the extra point earlier. And that's why it was a 9-7 game and not a 10-7.
And you got to love the Vanderbilt kid, Ralph Webb, their running back. 22 carries, 118 yards, and a touch. Just Vanderbilt. James Franklin, Penn State coach, you know, brought Vanderbilt back around, and they kind of fallen on the wayside without him. It's good to see Vanderbilt actually give somebody some fits.
Well, they forced four turnovers, and that's not a good sign for your team. If you are a top 10 team, and you're playing at home against an unranked team, and you have four turnovers. I mean, I guess you could say
they're the last
look,
place team.
They won, you know.
Vanderbilt's the last place team.
Well, that's the problem. That's what I'm saying. I mean, why are you having four turnovers? And I guess you could say, well, look, they came through adversity and they hung on and they won. That's impressive. And I guess it is, except like you're saying, it's not even an average team. It's a baloney team. I mean,
it's a baloney team.
Why aren't you rolling over them? Like you're saying,
they should have, but they didn't. They got caught sleeping is what they did. I want to look at the Stanford game, 42-10 over Colorado. Stanford at number 11. I'm shocked that Stanford is as low as 11.
Because nobody thinks that Pac-10 is any good.
But they've beaten everybody in the Pac-10.
Pac-12, sorry. that's why, because nobody really thinks they're any good. They're not any good.
But they dominated.
Is USC good? Nah, they're not looking that way. You know, is UCLA good? Well, they started that way. Is Oregon? Well, no, Oregon is it's kind of a dumpster fire somehow.
It is.
Which I still can't figure that one out. They just need a quarterback, probably.
Well, it's Vernon Davis, the fact that he's 5'9".
5'9"? How could you see anything?
That's
why he throws picks, right?
He really is, and that's a stretch at 5'9".
You know, and maybe it's just a first-year thing, right? Maybe once he's getting the system and he's got more starts, you know, but I don't know if he's going to be the starter next year or not.
Oh,
so.
He can't. He
is he a senior?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well,
he already he played 3 years at Eastern Washington on the red turf, lit up the place every game, and then pretty much Oregon came in and just stole him away after he graduated.
So that shows you there is a big jump.
It's a
when
huge
you go
jump.
From like you know Division 3, you know 3A to 4A.
Yeah,
know?
and then the uproar up there was, why are you coming down to take our talent to your school?
Yeah, the same reason they did that with Aaron Rodgers, right? When they took him from Cal down from Butte. So we did have another crazy game. We have a century game, which we had with the Giants and the Saints in the NFL last week, and this week we have it in the NCAA. We had Arkansas beating number 18 Ole Miss 53-52 in overtime.
That is true, and that game was an interesting game.
Frisbee slip with the ball, and it gets caught by I think it was Alex Collins that picked it up off the ground, but it counted as a lateral. You know,
300 yards, quite frankly.
Six touchdowns. Six touchdowns in one game. That's amazing.
That's a season for most Arkansas quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy. You know, when you used to think about Alabama, remember Alabama was like all you ever thought it was running.
Yeah.
You never thought anybody passing it. And all of a sudden now they're kind of almost more of a passing offense.
They are.
A running, you know, offense.
They are.
And then that Kelly who plays for Ole Miss, now he had 368 yards, three passing touchdowns, 110 rushing yards, and three rushing touchdowns. So both quarterbacks had six touchdowns.
Yeah.
Is this more of a testament to how impressive the offenses are, or is this a testament to how bad the defenses were?
You know, Ole Miss was considered one of the best defensive teams after they beat Alabama in the SEC, and now they've fallen apart. It's hard to say. Arkansas had a good defense, not a great defense, to start the season. So this game was an enigma. I don't think anyone, and I'd love to see what the over-under for this game was. I'm telling you, it was probably about 52. I hate to say it, because these two teams don't. Ole Miss is capable of putting up that point. Arkansas is.
Why is it that that's never the team that I bet on? I never bet on the over-unders of the teams where it's over in the first quarter, and you're like, oh man, that's a lock. You know, it's like it never happens. So, the other thing that's kind of crazy about that game, that matchup, is that both Ole Miss and Arkansas, their next games are both against LSU.
Yeah, they are, actually. Yeah, that's a good point.
So, I mean,
you're going to see either, one, how bad LSU was as an undefeated team playing Alabama. Number 17 in the country. And they ended up losing right off the bat. And it dropped
them.
Yeah. They lost right off the bat, and they dropped down to the top 25. But they were a top 25 team to start the season.
I don't know. I'm just curious to see if LSU just comes out and takes them both to the woodshed. And
if LSU has any prayer of even trying to get into the top
that's
four,
the thing,
they want
to try and sneak in. Which conference is LSU in?
The SEC West.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so they're not going to catch Alabama. So
that's the thing. Alabama holds a tiebreaker over.
Yeah. So, well, I guess Alabama has to lose two more games in the regular season. I don't see that happening. I mean, they could, of course.
You've
but.
Got the Iron Bowl with Auburn, who's not having a really good year. I mean, they've beat Texas A&M 26-10. I still don't know why Texas A&M is even in the top 25. They've literally lost three straight games now.
Three straight – well, I mean, it's two straight games that stayed in the top 25.
Yeah. So we'll see what the rankings come out tomorrow night.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
We do need to check in on Baylor. They are the number 16. They were able to outlast Kansas State.
They did.
Now, they had – I believe it's Jared Stidham was a replacement, correct? So he threw for 419 yards, three touchdowns, two of those touchdowns going to Corey Coleman. I guess I would say that that's a decent fill-in.
Well, it's a decent fill-in, but it's the worst team in the Big 12.
quit downplaying all these victories by saying
well, Kansas State is 3-5 overall and 0-5 in the Big 12 play.
0-5.
They're 0-5. They're absolutely atrocious. I actually watched most of that game, and it's just they had so many opportunities to actually blow Baylor out. And the kid from Kansas State just kept throwing interceptions. I hate saying that. They really should have beat
Is that the Joe Huebner?
I
or
think
Hubner, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
You know, either way, Baylor is still perfect. Now, this is not the point outburst that we're used to seeing from Baylor, which is kind of confusing, you know, because, I mean, somebody's been scoring like 70 points a game, but maybe when they finally put, you know, even though this is a terrible 0-5 in the conference team, maybe they just actually play in a real school, you know. They're not playing the poorest lines that they used to.
No, I think it's you have a true freshman quarterback coming in, and he made some mistakes.
Yeah,
he really did. He made some mistakes. He had a bunch of wide open receivers again.
I mean, is Baylor stuck with him for the rest of the year?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be
their quarterback.
Do they have any chance of making the playoff?
No, I'm going to go absolutely not.
What if they don't lose? Yeah, do you have a team that's undefeated and not make the playoffs?
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems like that's going to start the controversy, which I would love because then we get more teams in here.
Yeah.
you know, instead of
I would not put them in at all. In fact, the sentiment of the committee is it doesn't make a difference what they do because any team with a defense, and Kansas State has one of the worst defenses, they put up 31 points. And it's the kid's first start. Let's give him a little credit here. He did throw for 400 some yards.
If they didn't have to change quarterbacks, do you think that they could have made the playoff?
Oh, I do, because right now what you're going to see is they're going to play Oklahoma State, who people think are going to sneak in at number four, and I don't agree with that at all.
I am hearing a lot of Cowboys. Well, of course, we live close to Oklahoma.
Yeah,
a lot of Cowboy fans.
They haven't played anybody. I really don't care.
But they're still. But it's all about noise.
It's about noise, but Baylor still has to play TCU, and TCU's going to beat them.
But now there's another one. Now TCU was up there, and they look like a good team, and now they're probably out of it. Now.
Oh, they have no chance.
I mean, they lost to Oklahoma State. There's the Cowboys we're talking about. They rolled it, right? They just rolled over them. Boykins had a nice yardage, 445. He ran for 73 yards. He passed for two touchdowns, but he threw four interceptions.
He did, and that killed his Heisman hope.
Yeah, so now is that
you want to have a Heisman moment?
A big prime time Friday night game,
and everybody saw him throw a dud, pretty much. I still think the body of work so far over the whole year still puts them into that.
Yeah, I agree because the run per game average or per run average still has to be at least it's still 7-something yards.
It's still going to be at least 7 yards a catch,
and that's like Herschel Walker territory,
yeah.
Right? So
Adrian Peterson, Herschel Walker, I mean. This kid is a bigger Adrian Peterson.
Who did Adrian Peterson play for?
Oklahoma. Yeah.
Okay. Not Oklahoma State, though.
No.
Okay.
No. You're thinking of Barry Sanders played for Oklahoma State.
Oh, Barry Sanders. Well, I miss Barry Sanders.
I think everybody misses Barry Sanders. It still baffles me.
What happened with him? I mean, even watching that, have you ever seen that, that show, that Football Life that they do on NFL Network?
Yeah.
And they did one on him. And he actually talked a little bit about it. Like it still feels like he didn't give the real reason.
I think he just lost the love for the game playing on bad Detroit.
That sucks. What a horrible way to destroy a career.
It is, and this is what happens with a lot of good players. They get drafted very high and all of a sudden on very bad teams that never get better. And Detroit Lions are one of them. They never got better.
And how does that happen? You, if you have a running back,
it's bad front office,
changer,
bad coaching.
But I mean, how do you not? I mean, if you have Barry Sanders, right? By year three, you know what you've got.
Oh yeah.
You're drafting high almost every season because you got bad because you're not doing well. You offer up that first round and maybe next year's second and third. You kind of deplete yourself a little bit to get a good quarterback, because no matter how good the running back is, if you get a bad quarterback, you lose.
Yeah, then they never actually physically did that. And it's a shame that Barry Sanders left the game when he did, and because that was right when we grew up.
Yeah, who in the world was the quarterback for those teams?
I don't even remember.
Exactly.
I couldn't even name them. I'd have to look it up on the internet.
I want to say somebody with like a KR to start their name. Craig or Krieg or something.
Oh, you know what? It was it wasn't Mark Wright, was it?
No, I don't think so. But I mean, who knows? I mean, they were obviously bad because we can't remember them.
Exactly.
And then how about receivers? Do you remember any great receivers for those Lions?
Any of the receivers.
How about defenders? No. I mean, it's like, who did they draft? Who did they sign as free agents? They had the best possibly the best player in the game out. I mean, is either him or Jerry Rice. And so, how can you think you could even convince people to come and play for you for a cheaper amount of money than otherwise?
You'd think that, but like I said, it's a bad front office.
Maybe it's Detroit. Maybe no one wants to go there and play. And then why didn't Barry Sanders leave?
He literally just picked up and left. He thought, I want to play.
No, but I mean, but why did he stay there all those years?
I think he felt obligated. Plus, they were paying him out the wazoo.
Well, yeah, but why would you want to play for a team that was just inept and inept and inept and inept? I think they made the playoffs twice.
You're probably right. I think they made the playoffs twice.
And that's just horrible.
It is. And it's one of the baffling sports stories of the century of, why did he stay and why did he leave when he left? Because he really doesn't talk about it.
And there is that rumor of, he was a big, I think it was, I don't know if it was Jim Brown or if it was Walter Payton. He was a huge fan of one of them. And he was 5 yards or 10 yards short of breaking their all-time.
Walter Payton.
and he didn't want to break Sweetness's record, or didn't want to top his number.
It was Walter Payne.
So maybe that had something to do with it. I mean, maybe it's all of it together. It's just like, I'm just tired of this whole, you know, shitstorm, and I just want to, you know.
When you have bad front office people and bad coaches, it makes life basically a living hell.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think about Todd Helton when he played for the Rockies. You know, I mean, he had some good teams when he first got there, when they had all the Bash Brothers, not the Bash Brothers, but the Blake Street Bombers.
Yeah.
You know, Bichette, and then they had, you know, Castillo, and they had Burks, and they had Galarraga, and whoever else. And, you know, at least they were kind of exciting to see play, and, you know, they had something to, you know, to offer people to watch. But 162 games a year, and what, how many years did he play? 15, 17, and 16 of those years, 14 to 15 of those years, they were bad. How do you get up and motivate yourself to play?
You don't.
You'd
be surprised if you talk to some baseball. I know a lot of career AAAers, and you know, they always told me, like, if you can get a betting line when we go to Indianapolis to play the Red Hawks, bet against us because the bars are open before. So some of them have second jobs.
Well, so they're not getting paid very well.
It just depends on who you are. AAA, pitchers come out of AAA, the players don't come out of AAA.
I'm just thinking that you probably don't make more than $60,000. I mean, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but, you know, you got to be paying for a lot of stuff on the road, and I'm guessing that they don't cover everything for you.
No, you get covered.
Really?
Yeah.
Even in AAA?
Yeah.
Wow, yep. I just didn't think baseball clubs did that.
I had to actually, our kitchen produced the home team's batting practice, the away team's batting practice, the home team's post-game meals. The away team's post-game meals.
Were they good meals?
Oh, yeah. They have a decent budget to work with.
No, I'm just mean like what kind of food? It's like all like starches. Like, is it kind of like going to a football pregame feast, or is it
different? It just all depends. And I mean, I've served them mahi-mahi. I've served them chicken, a lot of rice, a lot of potatoes. You know, their pregame meals were usually like chicken tenders or wings, fries. We did long cheesesteaks on the cheesesteak boards.
Wow,
like
heavy
three.
Food.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
I guess they burn through it so fast out there,
you
and
do,
all the energy.
You do. You know, it's hot, you're sweating, you got to really load up on everything. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break here. We want to thank our friends over at ekfit.net. Go get your Beachbody coach. Get ready for wintertime fun. And our friends at sagemediallc.com. We're going to be right back after this.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
We are back on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. Mark, let's hit on some cycling news this week.
Yeah, I got a little shout out here to my buddy Devin. He listens to our show, and he was asking me why we didn't ever cover cycling, and I felt bad because, you know, that is not a sport that I really follow, but I know that it does have some passionate fans.
Yes, we do.
I thought we could go through just over a couple of little blurbs. It's nothing big. It is kind of in the off season. So
it is.
You know, you're not really seeing the teams doing anything right now. One thing that was important that did happen over the weekend was the defending champion. I'm sure I'm saying this name incorrectly. Son Kant. She's from Belgium, and she extended her run as the European cyclocross champion. She won the race yesterday afternoon. And again, something I'm going to say incorrectly, who's better gone? Netherlands. So I want to say congratulations to her. We also got an update that the Israeli continental team, they have improved their 2016 roster. They picked up two North Americans, Chris Butler and Luis Lemus. Or Lemus. I'm not sure how you say his last name. Again, I don't really know these players.
You know, it's functioning. It's funny you bring up the Israelis because they are making a huge push in lacrosse right now of becoming very good. They actually
were they competitive in the recent tournament?
Yeah, they were. They took sixth place in the world.
Excellent, excellent.
And they actually have a professional lacrosse league over there now.
Really?
They do.
Wow, that
it blows my mind.
In such a small area, how many teams could you have?
I think they have four.
Well, I guess, you know what, it probably gives you good practice, right, for those players to be competitive in the world tournaments. And when you're in your country that's small like that, you know, you really do want to compete on a world stage with your national team. And then the other thing that I wanted to bring up in terms of the cycling sports front, Chris Froome, I think is how you say his name.
Yeah.
Now, he took an off-season trip to Brazil. He was going to study all the road races and try and get ready for the upcoming season. And apparently there's some kind of a controversy going on with this guy. I don't know if they think he's doping or what, but there was some speculation about like the way he performed in the 2013 Tour de France. And he had this wonderful stage on the section of the ride that was Mont Ventoux. And apparently they said his cadence and heart rate data and power data were all, like, I guess, outside of, like, reasonable expectations. And so it kind of brings up the same thing with, like, you know, Lance Armstrong, right? It was,
oh, yeah.
Why did he have enough energy? Why did he have enough blood cells? Why did he have all this stuff to make him, you know, get up that hill?
Right.
You know, and then, of course, you find out that Lance was cheating and they were right all along, which makes you think that...
And he threw everybody under the bus.
Boy, he sure did. I have no sympathy for that guy.
I don't
I have
either.
None. He destroyed careers.
Yeah.
Because
he,
of that. Like,
he did.
Making you look like you're an anti-patriotic, you know, or unpatriotic, you know, mudslinger.
Yeah,
and
when he went
he
down,
was.
He took everybody down.
I'm going to mention that, you know, he gets cancer, he survives it, and then he's with Sheryl Crow, she gets cancer, and he basically leaves her because he doesn't want to deal with the treatments.
Oh, I mean, I know, that was just really, I mean, dude, you're with Sheryl Crow.
Slimy, dude. I mean, just a slime ball.
I have to agree with you on that.
And so, and there was this Froome guy, I guess what he announced yesterday on Twitter is that he's had sports scientists reviewing all that data from when he was with the UCI-funded World Cycling Center in 2007.
Yeah, he's undergoing psychological tests.
For what?
Good question.
I mean, I read
about
that.
The data's going to be released on December 3rd.
But what does that mean? I mean, we know what a psychological profile is. We know what a psychological problem is. I mean, does he have a mental defect?
Good as mine. We'll find out on December 3rd.
Yeah, that's, you know, so anyway, so that's really all I have for now. I don't know if you have anything else about cycling that you could throw in there, but I just, like I said, I wanted to hit on that topic for a buddy of mine. So
now, nothing else on cycling. They are in the off season. There isn't much going on. We pretty much hit it all. Watching the Tour de France.
Yeah,
and we have one of the best races in America, the U.S. Pro Cycling Challenge that comes through Denver and all the mountain towns. I actually did go to that one year.
Yeah, what a great place to train, right? At high altitude.
Yeah.
To train for the Alps.
I watched the downtown Denver. Like, you know, it's cool. They all come flying past you at about 30 miles an hour, and then you wait another 20 minutes, and they do it again. Because they're doing laps in downtown Denver. It's not like the mountain.
Right. I just want a long road race. Well, we will be sure to stay up to date on the cycling going forward. As for now, why don't we hop over to one of your favorite sports? So we got the NHL. That's finally
the NHL.
Starting to get to that point where they're starting to have enough games to have something to take a look at.
Definitely do. Let's jump right into the standings here. Montreal is just killing it at 13-2-1, 27 points overall in the Atlantic Division. Ottawa's second place, 14-7-4-3. They're 10 points already behind. When you get 10 points behind a team,
that's 2 weeks in.
That's hard to make up. I have to admit, when you're 10 points behind a team, very hard to make up. My Flyers went on a little bit of a losing streak. They're at 5-6-3, 14 games played, my bad. The Rangers are still my favorite, 10-2-2, just like 22 points. But Washington's right there at 10-3.
And I was reading about the 20 points. I was reading about Pascal Dupuis. He plays for the Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were saying that he was sent to the hospital because they were trying to make sure he wasn't having, like, another clot scare. I don't know what the first clot was. Do you?
If I remember right, he had a blood clot that moved up his body kind of like Captain Phil from The Deadliest Catch.
I don't know what happened there either.
Oh, he had a blood clot in his heart.
Oh, did it kill him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, you obviously don't watch The Deadliest Catch.
No. Uh-uh. Did it kill him on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It killed him on the show. They had to get him off the boat.
So, I mean, they said that there was nothing to be worried about and that he should be fine.
Yeah.
But I guess if they're forming in his leg or something, that's where they usually form.
Yeah.
Maybe the guy has to get on some anticoagulants or
He has to do that. Like you said, he's had one before. And basically, once you have it, you're going to start getting coming, and you have to watch it really quickly.
Because I know if they go to your lungs, you're done.
Oh.
It just stops all flow at that point. Another interesting thing that I was reading was about the Jack Adams Award, which just sounds like it's the award for the best coach.
Yep.
And I think it's voted on by the media.
Yes.
Now, that of the last 10 winners going back to 2005, only 5 of those coaches are still with the same team they won it with, which is kind of interesting to think that many coaches of the year couldn't hang on. But then again, we also have the NHL's kind of crazy off seasons where you see a lot of movement of talent.
You definitely do. You don't hear a lot about it because ESPN doesn't cover it that well. The Sports First Take never touches on hockey.
It's just not. It's not a sport that drives a lot of areas that don't have a team. You know, like, say you go to Kansas or something, right? They still gravitate to a football team somewhere, or in Missouri, you know, they're going to gravitate to someone from Mississippi. They're going to be a favorite of some team. If it's hockey, if you're not, like, in that area, I don't think hockey is a big enough sport nationally that people really pay attention. I mean, I think it was big up in the Northwest or the Northeast, you know.
No, it's huge in the Northeast.
All in that area, right?
Yeah.
They're all going to follow their teams, and they all have teams.
Yeah.
But as you get out to where populations are more spread out and they don't really play hockey.
Well, the problem down here is you have very few minor league teams. Omaha comes to mind because they have a minor league team. They have a really good college team.
Even in the Avalanche sometimes. You know,
well,
you hear about Colorado
DU,
College. You hear about DU.
College kind of fell off the map.
They look like they're good this year, yeah. Didn't they beat DU?
You know what? They actually just played. Let me pull up that score right now.
But it just seems like it almost seems like there's more excitement over the college game than there is even over the pro game in this area. And I wonder if part of this could be that in this area, especially from here down south and out west, you don't really get frozen ponds. You don't really get cold
and,
weather.
The Avalanche this year are going to have the Winter Classic. Well, not the Winter Classic. The Winter Classic.
Oh, the one that's in Coors Field?
Yeah, they're going to have it at Coors Field. DU's going to play CC there, actually, as one of the college games. I'm sure they're actually going to have a couple high school games probably played there. You know, when they do this, it's going to be February, I think, 25th.
Nice. And I still contend that I enjoy watching hockey live, but I think that's the other thing that kills hockey is that if you didn't grow up playing it, I don't think you can really follow it when you watch it on TV. I get bored really fast watching it on TV.
I don't mind TV. Live is definitely better. And DU did sweep Colorado College, actually. They won on Friday night 5-3. They won down at the Broadmoor World Arena 3-1. So DU went 2-0 versus Colorado College. Colorado College is kind of one of those
having trouble. They don't have enough money probably to
have
facilities.
We actually covered a Colorado College lacrosse game, and the team they played was absolutely atrocious. But feel bad.
We can hope that DU makes it back into the Frozen Four. And,
they're ranked number 9 coming in this weekend. They're ranked number 5 the weekend before. They had back. They lost to Boston College. They lost to Boston University 4-3, 5-4 in overtime. That's why they dropped 4 spots. Other than that, they've beat Air Force, which is always good. Beat Michigan State, swept Michigan State.
Well, either way, I just hope that they can
Yeah, they have Minnesota. They're coming up on Minnesota Duluth up in Minnesota. That's going to be a good series. Followed by Wisconsin and wow, they were well on the road for a while.
When does their tournament start up? When is the NCAA college?
Frozen Four is right after the basketball tournament.
Wow, they have a long season.
We're looking at their next. This is actually going to be a good one. I might have to try to get tickets for this. Their next home game is December 11th versus St. Cloud State. Huge game. St. Cloud State has.
Where is St. Cloud State from?
Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
They are very strong hockey. And they have Notre Dame the week after January New Year's Day. I'm going to have to go to that game.
They're bringing the Irish here?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Loaded up. Well, let's see. We're going to jump over to NBA real quick before we run out of time here. One of the things that did come up was Kobe Bryant is now talking about how this might be his last season.
I think it will be. I think Kobe is at the point where he doesn't want to go to another team. The Lakers are his true love. And he's not playing the way he wants to play.
Right. He's not a star anymore.
Well, I'm not going to say that. He's still a star. He's just not playing the way he needs to play.
he might be hurting his team.
He could be hurting the team. And it comes down to a pride. You know, the Black Mamba has a lot of pride.
Yeah.
He really does.
I did think it was funny that now he was making a joke comment. I know this. But he said something about how he just doesn't want to deal with the prima donnas and the drama queens and stuff. And
oh,
it's like, wow.
He hates that.
Considering that he was like one of the biggest drama queens when he was, when he came into the league. And
he was young.
Like, I'm sure he thinks back to it now about how stupid was
well,
he.
Him
they could have won
him,
six.
Him and Shaq talk a lot. They're almost best friends.
Well, yeah, Shaq's not in the league anymore.
Well,
how ridiculous was it?
Playing,
he just ruined
playing
his own
with
chain.
Dwight Howard. Kobe realized what he had with Shaq.
Yeah,
and he actually called Yeah, he actually called and apologized for being the way he was. Like, I see now how valuable he were.
Right. I mean, it's amazing how you can have such a big ego that you can say, "Wow, we won three titles in a row and went to a fourth titles game, and we didn't play because we were already decided that we didn't want to be on team together anymore." And that team could have won 10 titles.
I remember Kobe Bryant on a Philadelphia sports show when he was in high school, actually talking. They were talking like he was the bomb, even back then.
Right.
It was a high school show, basically. And then this is after he lived in Italy, and he was just destroying Philadelphia basketball. He was killing it all over the place.
Yeah.
And then he goes out and goes to the Lakers.
Yeah. They talk about how, Charlotte took him and then they traded him away, why did people trade him away? I can't figure out. And then also they think about what if New Jersey hadn't passed on him and had taken him with that first pick. I think it was New Jersey.
It probably was.
And I mean, you think about, hindsight, right? I mean, they didn't know back then. And
right.
You took a high school player, one guy took a high school player and they got Sean Kemp. Another one takes him and you got a guy that never makes it off the D-League team. So, you don't want to waste that number one pick, especially when it's a lottery
not
a given.
I'll ask you this question. What's the only of Michael Jordan as a Tar Heel?
Well, hitting the corner shot?
Yeah, for the national title.
Yeah.
That's the only memory anyone has of Michael Jordan in college.
Yeah.
He was only there for the year. He hit the shot. 2 years, I think. Hit the shot to win the national championship.
Yeah, dude. Well, Jordan, you miss Jordan. I mean, I know that LeBron is amazing, and he can do things that Jordan couldn't do, but I don't feel like there's anybody with Jordan's tenacity.
No, and I agree with you, and I'm going to have to just say this because I don't think I've put this on the table yet. You will never hear me say that name you just said. It'll be LeFraud, LeBrick, LeChoke, LeCramp.
You don't like LeBron James?
I hate the guy.
Why?
He ran to Miami and turned his back on Cleveland. If that happened in Philly, there'd be a bounty on his head. He would never even come back into the city.
You come and play for your hometown team. You are by far the best player in the world. You are single-handedly responsible for every successful thing that happened to that team for 7 years because they got him nothing. Varejao was like the only guy that was even barely decent. I mean, you had that, you know, Mo Williams was a joke. They pick up, what did they pick up, like the right before he left, Antoine Jameson or something like that? It's like, you know, give me a break. You have the best player in the world, and you couldn't figure out a way to bring another good player to Cleveland. I have no sympathy for Dan Gilbert. I have no sympathy for Cleveland. They got him back, and I'm happy they got LeBron back after he went somewhere else and said, okay, bad you are. You ended up getting 3 number one picks in the 4 years that I'm gone. That's how bad of a team you had. I have no sympathy for Cleveland. LeBron shouldn't have stayed as long as he did. He had every right to leave and say, you know what, I need to go win a title so I'm not Barry Sanders and sitting here without a ring on my finger because you're incompetent. Now he comes back. He comes back when they've got Kyrie Irving. He's able to bring Love in with him. Both these things, Love would not be coming there if it wasn't for LeBron. And now they have a team that made it to the finals, even without 2 of their 3 stars for most of it, and Kevin Love for all of it. And he's leading Cleveland to a chance to hit the promised land. I'm sorry. Not liking LeBron is a joke. This guy never gets in trouble. He's still married to his high school sweetheart. He's raising his kids well. He's extremely smart with his money. He's brilliant. I mean, this guy is educated beyond the wazoo.
I didn't say he wasn't.
I'm just saying. But he never gets in trouble. It's not. He went back.
He's Benedict Arnold. I want
to. So in your opinion, if Philadelphia got the number one player, and this was the best player in the world, and the Sixers got him, and the Sixers have been a train wreck for how many years now?
A lot.
Almost like 15 in the last 20?
Yeah.
So let's say they bring in Felipe Guatemalo, okay? This is the greatest player that we've seen in 25 years. And he comes in, number one pick, goes to Philly. He went to high school, playing for high school college or Catholic teams in Philadelphia, comes back and plays for the Sixers. 8 years into his career now, he came in when he was, let's see, we'll say one and done, right? So we'll say he was 20 when he started in the league. So now he's 28. He's got about 6 more years in his prime. And you would be mad at him for leaving Philadelphia, even though they didn't put any talent around him.
He would not be able to even – they'd have to close the arena off the fans because someone would try to kill him if he would – Benedict Arnold on Philly.
So what you're saying is Philadelphia fans are not fans to be proud of or to be impressed by.
No, what I'm saying is you don't go Benedict Arnold on us.
So who was the traitor? The traitor is the guy that leaves because you won't give him a good team? Or is the traitor the owner who doesn't put a good team on the
They're both. If I was a Cleveland Cavalier fan, I'd be pissed to have LeBron back. LeBrick.
I would be unbelievably graciously happy. LeChoke. This is a world title winner here.
Right. He's won 2.
Yeah.
2 out of 6.
Half of those teams have been nothing but him.
But he doesn't take the last shot. Do you know he doesn't? You know the percentage? He doesn't. He always dishes the ball to somebody else because he's afraid.
He's not afraid. He's not a afraid. Shooter. He's a drive to the basket type guy.
But
he's a big guy.
He won't even do that in the final minutes of the
game.
That's
not true. He
always
that.
Passes.
This is really one thing,
I agree with Stephen A. on.
Cleveland didn't make
skip.
It to the finals on LeBron having some last minute shots, huh?
No, he passes the ball off.
We'll go ahead and bring those stats
time.
In for you next week so you can
Let's
go ahead
him.
And give him mea culpa. I can't believe you're calling him a traitor. I can't believe you're calling him names. I think LeBron is one of the most impressive athletes overall and human I've ever seen.
I didn't say he wasn't.
Yes, you did. You're saying he's a traitor. You're saying he's a weak moral fiber.
He's Benedict Arnold.
He's not Benedict. 7 years.
And he
7 years, and you didn't give him anything. Nothing.
He should have demanded.
Nothing.
He should have demanded from Gilbert that we get players.
Gushing happened
I'm sure it
50
did.
Times. You don't think that that whole decision and big hoopla thing, you don't think that was a manufactured, huge, massive middle finger at Cleveland Cavaliers?
I know
team
it was.
And said, this is, I'm sorry. Colin Cowherd talked about this, and he nailed it. Kobe Bryant did this once before they got him Paul Gasol, right?
Right.
They were terrible for like 4 years.
They were.
And so Kobe took like 2 games off in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
and they got shellacked. I mean, we're talking like these like 130 to 70 games.
They were
right?
bad.
Because they showed, I am everything. So LeBron does that in the playoffs for Cleveland his last year before he leaves to Miami. Just so that you know, the only reason he did that was so fans would know that his team was horrible.
And what the fans still do, they went out and burned his jersey They actually almost threw stuff at a guy at an Indians game with a Lebrick jersey on. Literally, they were throwing. Okay. They got beat up, so they were mad
for a month.
They weren't mad for a month. They were mad for a long time.
You know, they were mad a little bit, but I think it clued into them as they tumbled to last in the standings, even though there was 1,000 other players they could have brought in, because that was like the biggest free agent summer of all time, and they didn't go get anybody else. They just pouted about losing LeBron, and then Dan Gilbert went and cried into his tea, and no one cares because he's a bad owner, and he doesn't deserve any kind of respect, and he wasn't even the owner the entire time. That's the other thing that's amazing. Two owners during LeBron's time, and neither one of them tried.
They didn't try. It's the same syndrome the Rockies have. The owner doesn't want to spend money.
And here's the best play in the sport where one player makes more difference than any other team sport. And your solution is, let's just see if he can carry us all the way, and that way I can make a whole bunch of extra money.
He was making money. He didn't care.
Good. I'm glad that they didn't win a title. They didn't deserve to win a title, and I'm glad LeBron left. I'd have done it too. I had no disrespect for him for it.
I don't blame him for what he did. I'm just blaming him for going back.
Well, he shouldn't have gone back?
That's what I'm saying.
So he shouldn't want to go and like go back home where it's home, where his wife wants to be.
With the way he left, I would have tried to go to the Bulls, or I would have tried to go to the Knicks. I would have done something else.
Why not go home and win a title for your home team before you retire?
And has he?
He will.
Oh,
he should have last year.
No.
If Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving don't go down, they win the title last year over the Splash Brothers.
No.
I'm sorry. No, Golden State is not good enough on defense.
Steph,
they are not good enough on defense.
Steph Curry is the man.
He is, but he's only one man. And LeBron can outscore him any guy he wants to.
When you can pull up from 30 feet from the basket and have a 69% hitting net.
Curry's amazing. I'm not saying he's not a great player. I don't think he's better than LeBron.
Oh, he's not better than LeBron because he can't take it to the hole like LeBron.
And he can't assist. LeBron's a magic maker on assists. He's like Magic Johnson.
He doesn't want to shoot the ball.
That's so ridiculous. I can't believe you're
I'm telling
anything.
You, I just have no respect for LeChoke.
Well, when he wins the title this year against the Spurs and Golden State gets knocked out in round number 2 by the Rockets, we'll go ahead and have this discussion again.
Well,
once he's raising that banner in Cleveland, you can call him LeBrick all you want.
The Rockets are starting to get very impressive.
They are. And they made some good moves, I think.
They really have. This is really going to be an interesting NBA season.
The
Sixers lost to the Magic.
Who are the Raptors?
Toronto? They've been up there for...
No, I'm not saying who are they, but they're 5-1. How are they doing that? This team has been horrible.
I don't know, because I'm not sure who they have on their team.
And why isn't Minnesota better? They're not bad, but they're...
Their coach just died.
Flip Saunders was the current coach?
Well, he stepped down, but he literally just died before.
I know that he died, but yeah. I guess I'm just also because of last year, I'm just confused. I mean, they got what, 3 number one picks. I mean, they got 2 former number one picks, and then they got like next year's pick or whatever. But I mean, they got both. I can't think of Wiggins and then whoever the guy was the year before.
Oh, it was.
And they traded them both from the Cavaliers. Let's bring it up again. 3 number one picks in 4 years, and none of them, except for Irving, were really that impressive.
Kevin Love never led that team to a playoff.
Those players were with Cleveland. They weren't with Minnesota. Minnesota never got Love any help either.
No, they didn't.
Remember when they had like those 4 picks? Like 3 picks. This was like back when Love was like his second year, I think, and he was
a star.
They took Rubio, who eventually actually now does play there. But he wasn't. He didn't play forever. He was over in another overseas and didn't play for like 2 years. They had like 3 picks in the top like 17.
Well,
Rubio
went overseas because they didn't think that he had enough skill for the NBA just yet.
Right, but
he tore it up in Europe.
Yeah, but when you have Kevin Love, you know you've got a big man. You've got a big man who can score and rebound and play defense. Why are you drafting somebody who can play right away? What they're doing?
I think it was a long-term plan when they picked up Rubio.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I thought that they took him kind of early in the draft. I mean, if you're going to take a guy in the top, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they took him in the 20s, but I thought they took him in the 10s.
I think he went in the 10s.
So, I mean, that's just...
If I remember.
I you got that kind of talent. You can build like that fast. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's always easy to say it. Hindsight is always 20/20. It's always easy on the outside without the pressure, without the constraints, without the owner saying, right? Maybe the owner's like, all right, I like this guy. I want you to pick him up, you know.
Oh, look at the Cleveland Browns. Patton didn't want Johnny Manziel. The owner wanted him.
Boy, those Browns, man. I can't believe they're bad again. That's just,
well, you got it. And you got Josh Gordon, who can't stay off the weed. At some point, this kid's got to learn.
Yeah. Well, you'd think. All right. Well, I think that we're almost out of time here.
We are.
I want to thank everybody for listening to us today. If you guys have a chance when you're up in the Broomfield area, do hit the Colorado Keg House by the First Bank Center. I'm telling you, you will not regret it.
That sounds like a great idea. I want to thank you for coming down to the Tech Center, Mark, to do today's show. I'm glad you had a nice drive in and it was no traffic.
Yeah, I hope it's a zombie drive on the way home.
It probably will be. I hate to say it. We want to thank everyone for tuning in to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. I want to wish everybody a happy Sunday. Go watch some football. There only is a couple good games on there.
Broncos.
So we're going to sign off.
Broncos. Go Broncos.
Go Eagles.